Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. Now, I don't know about you, but I was not a happy camper when I went out to walk my dogs this morning. Neither were they. And I was worried that the new tulips I planted last fall and I have been waiting for every single day since aren't going to be happy with the weather either. As WBUR meteorologist Dave Epstein put it in a recent weather report, the past few months have been weird. Dave wrote, "It seems like January and February were like March, and March was like March, and now April is like March." So what is up with this weather, and how do you go about gardening when April insists on acting like March? Well, we got lucky and we have Dave Epstein with us, David Epstein. He's also a horticulturalist and runs the website growingwisdom.com. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And so is Zanna Porter, Director of Operations at Green City Growers, which specializes in rooftop and urban farming. Zanna, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
And you, are you frustrated with the weather? Are you trying to garden in this age when you can't leave home and you want to do something beautiful or something crafty? Or maybe you've been a long-term gardener and this is not your first rodeo with unusual spring weather. If you've got questions or comments, call us, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So, David, let me start with the weather. Yucky out there today, and it hasn't been great lately. What is going on?
Yeah, it has not been great at all. Temperature right now at Logan Airport is 40 degrees, and that's just incredibly chilly for this time of the year. As a matter of fact, I think when we finally look at the records for today, this will be one of the top three chilliest 27ths of April on record. Basically, we have what's called a blocking pattern in place. We have high pressure to the north. It's keeping a storm system just off the coastline. If this were 4 to 6 weeks ago, we would be shoveling massive amounts of snow. This is the pattern that snow lovers wanted in January and February and just never materialized until now. And so, unfortunately, things look rather chilly, at least for the next several days.
Now, you know, it's really hard not to feel like this awful weather is just an extension of the awfulness of the pandemic that we're all living through. But weather is weather, right?
Yeah, of course, weather's weather. And, you know, I'm often reminded when I look outside and you see things blooming and you see nature kind of doing its things. The birds are out there making their nests and the animals have mated and the tiny little leaves are coming out and the virus is just going on the planet. The planet's just doing its thing. The virus is part of that. And so are the daffodils and the tulips and everything else.
Now, Zanna, let me ask you, we just heard about the daffodils and the tulips. I've been very worried about mine. You know, are early plants in trouble with this weather or are they fairly hardy?
You know, I don't think so. It certainly depends on the plant, but, you know, it is a cold, wet spring, but this is New England. And as David said, you know, the plants are growing, the leaves are starting to bud out, the trees are starting to bud and leaf. And spring is here. May will come, June will come, and we will have summer again. So, you know, we are getting out of the time period where we really have to be worrying about frost, which is really what's going to kill your more tender plants. And, you know, hopefully, maybe David can fill us in on a longer term forecast, but we should be seeing some warmer weather and seeing things really explode in the not too distant future.
So, Dave, are there plants that need to be protected in the next couple of days? Do we have frost coming? I've heard you say this morning that we might have snow coming in Western Massachusetts.
Snow's actually not as bad as frost. The frost would be the worst thing. The snow, you know, we can handle at 34, 35 degrees. No, right now it doesn't look to me like we see any extended periods of temperatures kind of under 30 degrees. As we just heard, the daffodils and all those plants can really handle a light frost anyway. And you shouldn't be putting out things like tomatoes or peppers, certainly not basil. Those things do not like, even if we don't get a frost, they don't want to be in weather where at night it's going under 50 degrees. So really hold off doing any of that stuff. This is spring. This is early spring in New England.
All right. So the lines are filling up fast. Let's take some calls. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Gwen on the line from Cambridge. Gwen, what's your question?
My question is, it's been raining a lot, and I seem to have moss everywhere. And I'm wondering, number one, do I need to bag it separately from yard waste because it's spores? And number two, can I use ash from my wood stove to ameliorate the soil to solve that problem?
Zanna, what do you think?
Oh, that's a good question. And it depends on where it is in your garden and what you want to be planting there. You know, it's a cold, wet spring. I would put those materials in a separate area if they are setting spores, because they will, you know, inoculate your compost if your compost doesn't get hot enough. And then you'll put it back in your garden and, you know, you have another cold, wet spring and you have more moss. But it does, you know, it depends on what you want to do with that space. And in terms of the ash, I'm actually, I'm not sure what that would do to your soil. It's going to change potentially your pH. And so there's, you know, there's repercussions beyond drying your soil out. There's other tools you might think about using, but I would start with removing it and putting it in a place other than your compost. And again, it depends on what you want, your intention for the space down the road.
1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We've got Peter on the line from Somerville. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Well, and you?
Good. Yeah, I thought I would just lend the perspective of some new beekeepers. I'm the president of the Boston Area Beekeepers Association, and a spring like this is difficult on new beekeepers because the bees can't fly as much as maple nectar flow right now. So the flowers and the trees are getting pummeled by the rain, which means there's less forage for the bees. And of course the bees will survive, but as new beekeepers, it makes a rough go of your first year of beekeeping.
I heard one of the panelists sort of chuckle about that. David, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was coughing, actually.
Just
allergies,
all right, so Peter,
by the way. Just allergies. Yeah,
so fair enough. Peter, before we let you go, what advice do you have for new beekeepers who may be trying to get, I don't know what you say, a hive off the ground or whatever you would say, and are encountering these difficulties?
Sure. I just say make sure that they have heat so that this is especially important with new colonies that don't have resources built up from the previous year. So they have... if you have feet on, they've got something to eat when they can't get out and fly, like on a day like today.
All right. Well, thanks for that. Thanks for the call. And I will think about that. I had some bees out in my yard on Saturday when it was, for 5 seconds, nice. And it's good to know about that. Thanks, Peter. Let's take David's call now from Lexington. David, go ahead.
Hi, Tiziana. I just have a slightly different perspective. My dog and I go running every day in a local woodland called Beaverbrook Park, and I think we were certainly hearing the wood frogs and the spring peepers in early April, and may have even heard them in March. We saw 6 ribbon snakes come out from their shelter a couple of weeks ago, and even in February, it was feeling like spring, and I got my snow tires off earlier than I usually do.
So you think it's the opposite. You like the part where January and February are acting like March as opposed to the part where April is.
Yeah, yes, I very much do. And April hasn't been so bad either. Today is actually like the 7th day that because of the weather my dog and I have not gone running.
Well, my thought is with your dog, too, because I know those runs are probably important to both of you, David.
Yes, and it's the 7th day since the beginning of the year, I should say.
Oh, well, that's not bad. All right,
no.
So Dave Epstein and Zanna, both caller David, and I see we had another caller on the line, Ann from Medford, who was also going to take me to task about complaining about April when, in fact, the unusual stuff was the good stuff in January and February. What does it mean for our ability to grow, to plant, when we have 4 months that all act like March?
Yeah, so, I think that one thing, if you're a gardener, whether you're new or seasoned, I think one of the things to take advantage of is the fact that we start cool get fairly warm, and usually it's pretty dry in the summer, and then we cool off again. And to have a succession of crops that you want to plant during that time frame. So a lot of folks get into, oh, I'm just going to put my garden in at the end of May, and then I'm leaving it. I've been planting. I started planting my peas about 4 weeks ago. They're up. They're about 6 inches. I'm harvesting kale already. I put in spinach. That's up. I'll be harvesting some of that this weekend. Those are the cool weather crops. I'll move towards things like turnips and radishes and beets over the next month or so. I'll eventually get into tomatoes and peppers and zucchini and cukes and all the warm weather stuff. And then I'll start back up again late summer, early fall with the things that like it cool. And that way you can extend the garden season. So you're not just gardening just a few months. You start in March. You can go all the way through till Thanksgiving with a couple of things covered up during that time frame. And it makes the year feel a lot longer. It makes it seem like you can get outside more and you can take advantage of this. And we're probably going to be contending with the COVID stuff and the social distancing for a long period of time. So you might as well learn how to garden over the next several months, not just when it's warm.
So Zana, that's a great point mm-hmm. from Dave. And for people who are discovering gardening as a part of being home, where if you're lucky enough to have a yard or maybe even just window space in an apartment, that's kind of your world and your way to engage with nature. What's some advice you have? And I guess especially for people who may need to garden indoors.
Absolutely. There is the opportunity to engage in our spaces in sort of a new way, or a way that we haven't been able to slow down into, most of us, in a long time. So there's certainly been a lot of interest and an uptick in plant sales. And, here at Green City Growers, we certainly have a lot of home gardeners who are reaching out to us interested in getting transplants and seeds and guidance. And there's a ton of resources out there, you know, both here at Green City Growers and also across the region, in terms of finding transplants and learning more about what's going to grow in your space. And also, goal setting. What are the crops that you're going to eat? What are some things that are going to bring you joy in the space that you have? And, using, if you have a terrace, how to maximize that space, and what is your skill level? Maybe perennial herbs are something that are really going to work well for you in your space. There's also a lot of resources for indoor growing. You may get enough light in your window for certain houseplants. You may want to research indoor lighting. And I really encourage people to read, to experiment, to reach out. There's a lot of information. Gardening is the most popular pastime around the world. And now a lot of us have the opportunity to slow down a little bit and really engage in that. And, that's a lovely thing to do this time of year.
Let's pick up another call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Karen's on the line from Lexington. Karen, I think you're calling to respond to a previous caller. Is that right?
I am, and that would be regarding the moss, the concerns for having moss that's popping up in the garden or on the property. I'm a gardener of many years, and I think that the idea about moss isn't that it needs to be something that's necessarily negative, but depending, and to the speaker's comments about it, depends on what you want your space to be. That's totally correct, but there are opportunities to actually incorporate moss in a very beautiful way within a garden setting, and I do a lot of that with my work. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is try to keep an open mind about what is happening, and perhaps there might be something that you hadn't expected that's presenting itself, and you could, develop the space differently.
Excellent. Also, thanks for that.
Yeah, yeah. Can I say one other thing really quickly?
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead, Karen.
Which is because it makes me crazy. I know people are so eager to get outside, and I mean myself as well, but into the garden and get their mulch down, and it's nuts, because the soil texture is really matters when it comes to building a healthy soil. So you don't want to be walking around a whole lot while the soil is this wet.
And all right, let's take it. Let me give our panelists a chance to respond to both of those things, Karen. So both the, you know, don't walk around on your soil a lot. Now is not the time to mitigate your soil, and embrace the unexpected surprises mm-hmm. that pop up in your land as a result of this weather. Zanna.
Yeah, I think that's a great perspective. And, you know, it is a way to, like I said before, engaging your space in a deeper way than maybe you've had the potential to before. And, you know, slow down and observe. And that's a great thing to do, you know, if you have family, if you've got children in your life, just taking some time to observe and really learn your space and integrate. You know, we don't need to come in and flatten everything out and, you know, put everything in rows like I did for many years as a production farmer. You know, we can integrate the space a little bit more. And there's time, you know, we're having a cool, wet spring. As David said, you know, thinking about successions and what you want to eat and when you want to start planting it, you know, it doesn't all have to happen right now. You can slow down a little bit and put in some research and make a plan and wait for the soil to dry out so you can work it and not really have a negative impact on your soil ecology.
And Dave Epstein, in our last minute or so, advice for people who are both looking to be outside more and or looking to garden based on what we think we might expect for weather in the next few weeks.
Well, I think we're going to see certainly a damp, chilly week this week and probably lingering into at least the first part of the weekend. I think as we get towards later Saturday and Sunday, things look a little bit better and we will warm up. I think to sort of echo what's already been said, also, just understanding your landscape. People sometimes have these ideas that they want to plant something in their yard, even if their yard doesn't support what they want to plant. Mm-hmm. So, you know, look around at your yard. Do you have shade? Is it damp? Is it dry? And look for plants that are going to work in your yard. You'll have much more success. If you have a tree and there's nothing growing under it, stop trying to plant grass. It's not going to grow under there. Figure something else out.
Okay. I laughed out of embarrassment because I may or may not have tried that myself at some point. WBUR meteorologist David Epstein, the man behind the website growingwisdom.com. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Zanna Porter, director of operations at Green City Growers. Thanks to you as well.
Grateful to be here. Thank you.
And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is produced by Jamie Bologna, Zoe Mitchell, Chris Siderick, Paris Alston, and Walter Wuthman. Tim Skog is our technical director, with engineering today by Glenn Alexander. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi, and I'm Tiziana Deering.